thank you, dear God, that you're God and we're not. I thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit, whom you sent to be a comforter, whom you sent to live with us and within us, to lead us and to guide us into all truth and understanding in the ways of our God. Lord, I commit these thoughts, your word, to you right now. And I say, Holy Spirit, you speak to me and you speak to the people in this congregation. And bring forth out of your word this morning things that are pertinent to them, things that are pertinent to the kingdom, things that are pertinent to the days in which we live. And Lord, for the future that stands before us. So Lord, we commit this next half an hour or so, Lord, to you, and thank you for the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Who is Jesus? Who is he? Who is he? Is he just a man? Is he just a God? Is he a prophet? Is he someone that lived for a while and was claimed to be a good man? I just find it interesting how the Gospels start. And we look at the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 1. And from 1 to 17. It's about the genealogy of Jesus from Abraham up until when Jesus was born. You can follow this genealogy backwards if you want, back to Adam and Eve. And it starts off in verse 2. It says, Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. And if we flip across to verse 16, and it says, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, whom was born Jesus, who was called Christ. Verse 17 says, there was 14 generations from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile in Babylon, and 14 from the exile to Christ. And it shows us quite clearly that Jesus Christ was a human being. He had a lineage of people behind him, just the same as we have. Now this takes us back through three sections of 14 generations. But we can be traced back to Adam and Eve as well. See, I don't believe when I look at the television and some scientists come up with a skeleton that this is the missing link. In the last week they've done this. They've done it before, and every time they find some bones, this is the missing link. Well, it's the bones of something. But the humanity, the human race that God created started from Adam and has come up until this point. You know, if we read in Genesis the story of the fall in heaven of Satan and the demons that came, and they mated with human women and so forth, and all sorts of monsters could have come out of that. But God's line is pure. And in this genealogy here, it shows us quite plainly that Jesus Christ is human flesh, blood and bone, is a man. We go on to the book of Mark, the first chapter. Luke first. No, I got it wrong. It is Mark. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, isn't it? And a verse, beginning of Mark, it says, the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So we have in Matthew this genealogy of Christ as a human person. In Mark it says, the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send a messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. This is declaring by the Spirit that this human person is not just a human person, but he is the Lord, the Son of God. We go over to the beginning of Luke, verses 1 to 4, chapter 1. And it says, many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. It's interesting, it doesn't say witnesses and services of Jesus or of the Christ, but it mentions the word. Therefore, since I myself carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. Luke fully investigated. The encouragement for us is to fully investigate the scriptures, fully investigate what we're being taught. We were encouraged last time Peter shared about not just trusting him, but get into the word and find out what the word of God says. We need to do that. You need to do that today from what I'm saying. Because I may get some things wrong. Hopefully not. And then we go over to the Gospel of John. And I love this. Because in Luke it speaks about the word. John starts off, in the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men, brought out in the communion this morning. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Speaking about the word of God, speaking about Jesus. In Matthew, it was his natural lineage. In John, it's his spiritual, godly lineage, being part of the Godhead in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. He was there in the beginning. And the Word was with God. So the Word, Jesus, was with God. And the Word was God. So here we see that the Bible is saying that Jesus is God. And he was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Through him all things were made. Now I watched a documentary on television in the last fortnight about this planet we live on, about this earth. And I don't understand how scientists can't see God when they look at the earth. Now this particular program, you may have seen it, I don't know. But it was to do with all the elements that happen on the earth today and have happened since God created it. It started with the sun and the earth's movement around the sun. It's not in a circle, it's an elliptical movement around the sun. And that line that the earth takes around the sun has to be perfect for everything else to work. The earth is on a tilt of about 20-something degrees. If it was a fraction of a degree either way, it wouldn't work the way it does. It has to be perfectly in that position to go around the sun, that the seasons come and go. It also went on to the moon. Now their explanation of how the moon got there is way up there, is like everything else with the Big Bang and everything else. Because my Bible tells me that God created the moon, put it there for a reason. And the way the moon travels around the earth and the earth travels around the sun, the way and the time that it takes has to be perfect for the things on the earth to work. And the thing that works perfectly on the earth is life. And if one of these things is out of balance, life doesn't exist anymore. And it was on about how the moon affects the tides. And the tides affect the weather and the wind, and which brings the rain and brings it here and brings it there, and it comes from here and does this. But everything has to work perfectly for these things to happen. They got on to about the amount of lightning strikes that hit the earth every day. And around the world, there's tens of thousands of lightning strikes hit the earth every day. And it doesn't just have lightning and thunder for the sake of it. There's a reason for that. And if it didn't work that way, then life wouldn't exist on earth. And these people try and tell me that it all happened by chance. All of a sudden there was nothing and boom! It all happened there. This bit of slime came out of whatever, and then you and I are the result of that. Well, I just read a story there that speaks about God bringing a man who happened to be God himself coming to become a man and to live amongst us, and for us to know and to understand who he really is. Before we have his natural lineage, we have his spiritual and godly lineage here to see, and that declares that Jesus is not just an ordinary person. He's not just a person that came up in history, not just a person who the world says and other religions say that he was a good man or he was just a prophet. He proved himself in that life that he was more than just a man. He proved that he was a man. He proved that he was God. And he did the impossible. And he showed in the end that all power and authority that he declared was his was proven to be his when he raised himself from the dead after Calvary. This is going to be a short clock. Praise God for that. In Matthew 28, and we've heard this, we know this scripture. Pastor Mike's ministered on it many times. At the end of chapter 28, it speaks about the Great Commission. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.'" Verse 20, "And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." In our making of disciples, do we teach them to obey all that Jesus commanded us to do? Because if we're out there making disciples, if we don't do that, then we're not making disciples. We need to teach people what Jesus has taught the disciples and teaches us. That to be a Christian doesn't mean a mental assent that Christ is real, or believe that he can do miracles, or believe that he's God. This says that we've got to teach people to obey everything that Jesus commanded us to do. Now that's a tall order, because I reckon most of us would struggle in obeying everything Jesus told us to do. And I was thinking while I was in the prayer room this morning, we were reminded that God is greater than us. And a number of scriptures were brought out that tells us that we are safe in Christ. That in him we have a place that nobody can take away. Nobody can take us away from it. But do we let God down sometimes? And the challenge is for us to be honest with ourselves and honest with God. And get back into the scriptures and see what Jesus is saying. And when he tells us to do this, do we do it? When he tells us to love one another, do we do it? When he tells us to love our enemies, and if an enemy has a need, fulfill and meet the need, do we do it? Because a lot of the stuff we place importance on is really not that important. The thing that God's about through Christ is dealing and having a relationship with mankind. You know, I thank God as I get older in Christ that I'm mellowing. I can remember in my early days, if kids were playing around down the front there, I'd be thinking in my head, where's their parents? Why haven't they got them under control? But I reckon that's fantastic to see kids doing that, because that's exactly how Jesus would have it. When I first got saved, every man wore a suit to church and a collar and tie. So I began to do it. And after a few years, I realized that, hey, that was an expectation placed on me by a man, not God. Because he's not looking what's on the outside. He's looking at what's in here. That's what he's interested in. There was a scripture brought out by Pastor Michael a few weeks ago when he preached, and it was interesting, in the prayer room, the same scripture came to us and we prayed about it. And that scripture was that out of the mouth the heart speaks. Now God looks at our heart. He knows exactly where we're at and where we're not at. And he encourages us by his Holy Spirit, by other people, to come into line with his way and to do and to fulfill and his commandment upon our lives. Because Jesus is more than just a man. Because he is God incarnate. And because he fulfilled every prophecy in the Old Testament about the Christ, every one was fulfilled by Jesus. Proving to mankind who he is. And we know it because we have taken hold of that, we believe it in our hearts, and we've said, yes, God, we want to walk with you. We want to obey you. We want to be where you are. We want to be your instrument here on the earth today. God doesn't need any of us. He can think about clicking his fingers and it'll happen. Just think about it. He doesn't have to click his fingers. He just has to think about it. And these things will take place. But the greatest thing God wants from us today is to love one another. And to love our enemies. And that's difficult for human beings. Real difficult. But if we can overcome that and genuinely love one another and genuinely love our enemies, then the impact we're going to have in the lives of people around about us is going to be enormous. Absolutely enormous. But it starts with you and it starts with me. God's already done his bit. He's shown his love for mankind. As the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He showed that he was prepared to do and give himself because he loved his enemies. Because we used to be enemies of Christ. But then he came and he saved our hearts. And he saved our souls. And he brought us into a relationship that we can stand with him as one. What a fantastic thing it is. So I want to encourage us today. And I want to, next time I want to go a lot deeper in to verse 20, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. The next verse says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Do we really know who Jesus is? Do we have full confidence that he is God? He does things that affect our lives all the time in ways that we don't expect. Just been thinking over the last couple of days that this part of my body, which was cut open and ripped apart, is feeling the best now it has since before I had the operation. Still not 100%, but I feel so much better in here. But that's the healing power of God working in my life. But he's not only working on the physical flesh and bone, he's working on my heart continually. Because the way I am today and the things I think today are so different to when I first got saved. I used to believe that the King James Bible was the only true version of God's Word. Don't get me wrong, I love it. That's the Word that I grew up with. And if you want me to quote Scripture, it'll be King James Version because it's in here. It's there. Some of the NIV comes out, but mainly it's the King James. I've actually got a book at home that tells me that that is the only Word of God that's worth looking at. All the rest is rubbish. And I realised the book that says this was rubbish. Because God's greater than this written Word. He is the spoken Word. He is the Word of God. You know, and He comes in that capacity as the Word of God. And reveals Himself time and time and time again. But He reveals Himself to each one of us in different ways. I used to get annoyed when I was a young Christian, when people would have a different understanding of the Word of God than I did, because they were wrong and I was right. Well, it didn't take the Holy Spirit too long to sort me out. Because He showed me in the Word that we should never get into vain arguments over the Word of God. Because exactly what I believed in God at that time was exactly right. 1,000,000,000%. The person arguing with me with their understanding of the Word was absolutely right as well. Because their understanding was different to mine. And we're all on different journeys. You can't expect someone who has been a Christian for a month to understand the Word of God the same as a person that's looked in it for 30-odd years. But that person's understanding of the Word of God is exactly right. Perfect at that point in that person's life. So we're changing. And we're moving on and we're running that race. And the reason we're doing that because we have confidence in Jesus Christ, in who He is. That He's able to do more than the Word of God says and what we think. You know, this God, this man. You know, I used to think also that, you know, God's seated on the throne in heaven. And then I read in my Bible that it says there's a man on the throne in heaven. A human flesh man. His name's Jesus. Because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that flesh was put to death. And that flesh rose again to eternal life. That flesh was changed from mortal to immortal. Showing that the things that the Bible says is not impossible. God's already done it. So we can have confidence that when He comes for us, exactly the same thing's going to happen. But we may be dust in the ground. And out of the dust of the ground, He's able to bring us back to the same form we have now. We need to really study the Word of God as Luke says, that he declares that he carefully investigated everything. And we need to investigate everything in the Word of God. Prayerfully bring it before God and allow the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth and understanding. I think it's fantastic that He just doesn't lead us into truth, but He helps us to understand what the truth is. But don't argue with anyone else, because your truth might be slightly different for where you're at the time. But God's truth for you is real, and you need to run with it. And allow the Holy Spirit to increase your understanding. Because I found a scripture that put my heart at ease, because I thought that I'd never, ever be able to understand the scriptures and God. But then I found this scripture that says, when I go to be with Him, I will know even as I am known. I don't have to worry about getting it all right here. Because when I go to be with Him, then the glass that's dim will become quite plain. sitting here singing this morning and looking over there, and I thought, the door's open. Where's all that light coming from in there? I don't know whether you can see it. And I looked and I thought, there's a light out there. What's it doing out there? Then I thought it might have been a mirror. And I thought, well, how does that get around corners? There's a light out there. You know, God shines his light on things for us in our daily lives. But he wants us to love one another more. He wants us to love our enemies more. He wants us to obey the things that he's commanded us to do. And he wants us to make disciples and teach them to obey the things that he's commanded us to do and the other disciples all the way along. So next time I share, I want to go through some of those things, or as many as possible I can find, that God commands us to do. So if the musicians and singers can come, that'll be good. I guess we're going to sing a song before we finish. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your many precious and great promises in the Word. I think of that one at the moment that says that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, you've done everything in your power to bring us to a point where one day we'll be with you where you are. We've just sung a song. So Lord, help us, Holy Spirit, to be obedient to your word, to be obedient to you, to not live selfish lives, but Lord, to give our lives freely to you and to those around about us. Thank you for your word. Thank you, dear God, that the opportunities before us to be Christian, opportunities before us to declare the love of God to people we come in contact with. Just as we've heard the opportunities that Pastor Michael and Chris have had there in China, two in the last 2 weeks. That Lord, before they come back, we can say, hey, there's a couple here in the last 2 weeks. And together the kingdom of God will grow. Lord, have your way. Let your will be done. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.